You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
See all of you here. It's great to be back from a trip down under. Yes. Under. Good on you, mate. How do you like that? That's pretty good, right? Good on you, mate. And they say, instead of how you doing, they say, how you going? And I say, I'm going by car. But that's not very nice. So I just say, I'm doing really well, thanks. So, listen, it's great to be here. If you don't know me, my name is Steve. I have the privilege of leading the leadership team here at Westside. And just came back from our new church plant in Cameron Park. This is our third service this morning. And the Thursday night service, anybody get canceled out on Thursday night? It's the fourth time I think we've canceled a service since I've been here in 18 years. And Thursday night we did cancel, but we're glad you're here today. Today's kind of a fun day. We're in our series on Philippians, but it's kind of like a history family day that's been very encouraging. And so I'm glad you're here this morning, and pray that if you haven't been yet, that you'll be encouraged and strengthened and built up and equipped in the name of Jesus for every good work that he's called you to. And so a little bit on our Australia trip. We just got back Thursday morning at 1:20 a.m. Traveling, you know, it's kind of like all the way down under. And we went all the way to Tasmania, which is a state. It's one of the states of Australia, but it's that island that's off the bottom coast. The next stop south from there is the Antarctic. And so it's a long ways away. So the first place we went, do you guys remember Paul Collinson, the guys that were at the men's advance last year? He's the big Australian dude that we called Bruce, you know, the shark from Finding Nemo. We called him Bruce. But Paul leads a church called Extreme Life, and this is a picture there. I was preaching there, and it was like the coolest pulpit I've ever preached from. There is a big barrel, and their church is doing well. They live about 4 hours outside of Melbourne, which is a big city. Warrnambool is a smaller town, about 100,000, but there's nobody else around. They're like hours away from anybody else. So it's a very rural feel. There's a lot of farms and things there, but it was encouraging to be there. They appreciated our visit. Then we went back into Melbourne and did the EQUIP there, the NCMI EQUIP in Melbourne at a big convention center place there. Terry preached and I preached there, and it was very good to be there. Terry and I were the only ones from overseas actually at that EQUIP. A lot of their local pastors and leaders ministered. Then we went on down to Tasmania. It's an hour and a half flight from Melbourne south onto the island of Tasmania, and the city is Launceston. And we met our friends Russ and Mary Doty. You guys know Russ and Mary have been here a lot. And don't forget, it's summertime down there, and we came back to winter here. But it was beautiful to see their city and the brand new church plant. This is the first service they had in their location there. And I had the privilege of setting in or ordaining Russ onto the eldership of Redemption Hills Church in Tasmania. And so to be there at the very beginning, they had met the week before in a different room, but this was their first time where they were set up and things like that. And they had almost 40 people there. And so that is from scratch, from doing it from the very beginning. God's added to them. And while I was ministering, what I do normally is I'll talk about responsibilities of the elders to the people, and I have them commit to the people. And then I said, if you're part of Redemption Hills Church, if you believe God's called you here, and this is where you're to be planted, would you stand up? And Russ and Mary had no idea who was really all in there, but every single adult in the room stood up and said, we're part of this church. God's called us here. And it's just a privilege to be there. I pray that next year when we go back to the Australia EQUIP and go down to visit Russ and Mary again next year, that there'll be a team, a good-sized contingency from Westside to go down there with us. If you're adventurous, go to the Malawi or the Middle East one. This one is like a luxury trip, ministry trip, but it is a different. You do have to drive on the other side of the road, and you might get lucky enough to drive with me on the other side of the road. And so, all told, I think I drove about 600 or 700 miles on the other side of the road. And you actually, your brain kind of flips like this, and it works out okay. So, this June is the United States Equip. Now, our leaders at Westside go regularly to our equips. If you're part of Westside and you've never been to one, I would encourage you, you have quite a few months away to make that priority and get down to the USA Equip. There's information at the back at the Welcome Center, and you'll also be able to get more as we go along. But it's the last week of June, and it's right immediately before Rise Up. So the Equip is 2.5 days, and Rise Up is 2.5 days, so you back-to-back. It'll be 5 days. Take your kids down to the Equip, drop them off at Rise Up, and then you go to the beach and then pick them up on the way home. There's a lot of ways to do it. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. We do need your help. Holy Spirit, you said that you would lead us and guide us into all truth. And we need that desperately this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 1. This is the week 7 on the Ecclesia series. Last week, Micah, and the week before, Mark did fantastic preaches, and so we're continuing on. We're still in just the first few verses, but way back in verse 1, it says, Paul, that's the first sign of a healthy church in the New Testament, is change lives. Paul's name used to be Saul, and when he encountered Jesus, he was never, ever, ever the same again. I want to tell you, when you truly encounter Jesus, your life will never be the same again. And if your life has never made one iota of a change since you accepted Jesus, ask yourself, how did I understand what he did for me, that he paid the price for my sin on the cross, and that he rose again 3 days later, just like he promised, like the scriptures foretold. And so Paul was somebody who met Jesus and his life was never the same. Then Paul and Timothy. We see team all throughout the Bible. And the very first human team is back in Genesis with husband and wife. And God said, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And we see that God is team and God uses team. And so we see Paul and Timothy. Every translocal team in the New Testament, it was always more than one. It wasn't just one by themselves. And so we do believe in this thing called team. There's a leadership team that leads this church. Jesus is the head, but the elders and the deacons are the leadership team here at Westside. And we have teams of ministry all through this place. And then we see servants of Christ Jesus. We see that Jesus himself was the chief servant. Of anybody who deserved to be served, it was Jesus. But it said Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And he chose to give his life as a ransom for many. And then we see to all the saints in Christ Jesus. That's the A team, the number one team, the ministry team here at Westside and the church. The saints, those are people who have said yes to Jesus. That's the priesthood of all believers. And that if you are a Christ follower, that you have a ministry, you have a service, and that involves your giftings and who you are and what God has positioned you to be for such a time as this. And we don't use those gifts for our own glory. We use them for his glory. We use our gifts to serve others so that God gets the glory. And then we see grace to you and peace from God our Father. We see a huge measure of freedom that we find in Christ that Mark spoke about and in Christ Jesus, that he's our provision in every situation, financially, health-wise, family-wise, relationally. He is our provider. And I thank God for my remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Micah talked about prayer last week and the joy of the Lord being our strength. And because of your, number one this week, because of your partnership in the gospel, now this is Paul and Timothy writing to the church at Philippi, and they had a partnership in the gospel with this team. From the first day until now, that's point number two today, is continuity and steadiness. and faithfulness. And then he finishes here in verse 6, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So, a couple of things this morning. I'm just going to point out these. First of all, partnership in the gospel. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day and now until now. And so, Paul and Timothy have this partnership with the church at Philippi. Now, every single church in the New Testament had a relationship or a partnership. Relationship is friends, but partnership actually means there's an investment here. It might even, it involves a relationship, but it might involve resources and people and finances and things to help the kingdom be advanced in this partnership. And every single church is related to somebody on the apostolic teams, those teams, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Barnabas, Timothy and Titus, didn't matter who it was always teams of people, Peter and John. So the NCMI team, or the New Covenant Ministries International team, is on one level is our partnership to the body of Christ at large. This church relates to a team. You might have heard about NCMI or New Covenant Ministries International. I want to define what that is this morning. We talk more about it at our Westside 101 class. The team that we relate to, we are not an NCMI church. There is no such thing as an NCMI church. NCMI is simply a team of giftings to local churches around the world. It's a team of people. Terry and I happen to be on that team. We've had people from that team, Russ and Mary, Terry and Sandy Kruger last year, Tyron and Nicole, Kevin and Cindy Booth, Jim and Margaret Lamont. I mean, just over and over, over the years, we've had people come in and minister. Now, the team doesn't have any authority over the local church. The highest human authority in the local church are the elders. The highest authority in the local church is Jesus, because he's the head of the church. But he's set teams of elders to oversee and to govern local churches, and that's where we see health and wholeness in local churches. So there are no denominations in the New Testament. I'm not against denominations. I have friends who lead churches in denominations. They love God. They love his word in this region. And I meet with them every month together, and we pray together for this region. But I just don't see it. Paul said to the people, he said, don't you even start saying, I'm of Paul. That means I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter. He said, don't even start this stuff. Say this instead. I follow Jesus. I am of Christ. I am a Christian. And so the loudest name shouted in this church is never going to be Westside or a person other than Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that's what we see. But Paul spoke to the church in Corinth. If you read Corinthians, Paul actually sharply rebukes them. The reason was they were way wacko out of line. And they needed some order. And that's what the apostolic does, is brings order in. So he gives it to them, both barrels. But he didn't say, we're going to take away your charter, we're going to remove your pastor and send him to Tasmania, take away your building. He didn't say any of that kind of stuff. Here's what Paul said. I appeal to you. You know I loved you. You know I'm like a father to you. Will you listen to me? And you know what? They listened. They listened to him. And that's the relationship that we see. It's all through the New Testament. The apostolic team comes in to build into the local church, not just to bless. It is a blessing. It was a blessing that we were there with Russ and Mary last Sunday morning. And it is a blessing to be able to do that, but we actually go in to build. When we have guys from the team come in here, we want them to build good foundational building blocks into the life of the local church. That's what we see there. They ordain elders. You never see once, not once in the New Testament, not once do you see elders ordaining elders. You only see the translocal guys, the apostolic. I use that word interchangeably. Apostolic means a going and sending culture. Apostle means sent one. So apostolic means, if we're apostolic, that means we have this going and sending culture where it's not just us four no more. We just sequester ourselves in our little section of the world. No, but we're called to the nations, to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So we've been in partnership with NCMI for a long time, since before Terry and I got here 18 years ago. This church got into partnership through some friends that we had, and they sent some leaders down there, and they asked for some help, and that's how Terry and I happened to come up here. And so Terry and I are here because of that partnership, because we were in a church that was relating to the team, and Terry and I had heard from the Lord 5 years earlier in 1995 when we were in Australia. I kept blaming Australia for things because last year in Australia, I heard a word, it's time to plant another church in El Dorado County in Australia. I said, you guys are the problem here. And so we heard a word in 1995, prepare 5 years. That's three words, prepare 5 years. And we knew that God was doing something. And so that was 1995. In 2000, 5 years later, Terry stepped off of her law partnership practice, legal practice in Southern California, Christian law firm. I stepped off. I was superintendent of a large Christian school down there on pastoral staff of a big church. We had been there 22 years. Our kids grew up there. We grew up on our marriage there, and God did something radical and brought us here. And we're here because of that partnership on the team. The NCMI team, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, that's what we call the fivefold ministry. I'm going to read the verses here in Ephesians in just a moment. Those are gifts to the church. They're gifts to the church. They're people gifts to the church. So when Russ introduced me last week at his church, he said, these are gifts to our church that Jesus sent us. And so we receive them as gifts. They come in to lay foundation, to speak into the life of the church, to set in elders. There's no control. They cannot usurp. They can advise and give input, but the local elders are the highest human authority in the local church. So in Ephesians chapter 4, don't get lost on here. This is very interesting. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And we call that fivefold ministry. The apostle, he kind of governs. He's kind of like the thumb on the hand. He can touch all the other giftings. He's like the wise master builder that Paul talks about. And the prophet, prophetic in the local church. And the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher. And so we see Ephesians 4, chapter 4, this fivefold ministry, their gifts to the local church. And so they come in and they help build and they help lay. So a true Ephesians 4 gifting, say a true apostle that comes into the local church, you're gonna want to go to the nations. You're going to go plant a church when they leave here. A true evangelist isn't just somebody who wants to get people saved. There's somebody who comes into the local church and equips us so that when they leave, the deposit they left with us is evangelism. I want to go tell my friends about Jesus. We're being equipped for works of service. That's what we see there. So, verse 13. There, back to 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, build up the church, the body of Christ. Verse 13. This will continue. That's why we're still doing it today. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Some of our involvement with NCMI, or New Covenant Ministries, over the years, just want to bring us up to date. There's some practical help that we've done. A few years ago, I took a big wad of cash into South Africa, and it was 30,000 rand. That's their dollar. You know, what they call their dollars, rand, that they took up into Malawi, which was having famine at that time. We sent a chunk of money and gave it to them for famine relief, the teams that were going up there. Then another guy that we have, a friend that he's working into Sumatra. Remember the big tsunami in Indonesia and Sumatra about 10 years ago? 500,000 people were killed. It's like one of the biggest natural disasters in history. And we sent, this church sent $2,000 to NCMI to help put it with another bit of money. We bought 40 boats for 40 fishermen in one village in Sumatra to put the men back to work in that village. Just things like that, relief efforts. And we have guys now working in the Middle East, undercover, under threat of death. We can't advertise or say where they're going and those kind of things. Also, the same thing in the Philippines is very dangerous. There's parts where Christianity is hated there, and also in China. There's a lot of under-the-radar things. In the Sudan, you know, some of the things we've seen from there. We have teams regularly going in there, putting their lives on the line for that. We're now working in every nation in Africa and 119 nations around the world. Terry and I mostly work in North America and in Australia, New Zealand area. That seems to be where our ministry is, where that fits for us. And because this church sends us, because this church is healthy enough, you are partnering in the gospel with the bigger picture. And it's amazing. In Mexico, we've been sending teams with Dave and Laura down there for over 10 years, partnering on a church-to-church level with Cristo Vive down there and Jaime and Lucy. I mean, Jaime and Clarissa. I know another Jaime and Lucy, sorry. Jaime and Clarissa. And we're partnering in the gospel with them. How many of in here have been on one of our teams down in Mexico? All right, just ask any one of these people. It's amazing what God is doing just on a church-to-church partnership. This church has partnered in church plants the last 10 years, probably close to $200,000 helping new churches get planted. This church. So we participated in supporting two church plants that we had ongoing partnership with in Texas, Katy, Texas, and also Seabrook, Texas. Also in Denver, 10 years ago or 8 years ago, whatever it was, we sent some of our people to actually move from here, Placerville, to Denver to help start a brand new church. Elders and deacons that we sent there and a lot of money to help them get off the ground. And we brought Patrick and Vanessa over here from South Africa, and they were here at this church for 3 years, and we sent them out 5 years ago to plant the church in San Jose. And just last fall, we planted another church in Cameron Park, and now last week we've helped and participate and planted a church in Tasmania with Russ and Mary. This church sent $10,000 to Russ and Mary to use for that church plant. And we actually believe this thing of going to the nations and helping for some relief efforts. We don't want to do it. I don't want to just send my money to people I don't know. I'll give my money to somebody I know to go in that's going to walk it in personally there and make sure that it gets done right. And so that's why we have this partnership. That's why we have these relationships. So I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we have this ongoing partnership with people outside this church. I'm so thankful that this church has partnership in this region, down in Mexico and down in other parts of the country, and that we have partnership in this city, so to speak, this area where I meet together with pastors. This church will not win this region for Jesus. This church is not the answer for this region. Jesus is the answer for this region. And Jesus' body will meet that need. And we're not Jesus' body in this area. We're one local church in this area. But together, the body of Christ in this area, working together in a spirit of unity. And Billy Graham passed away this last week. And you may have heard that or heard things being posted about that. I encourage you, take this opportunity. While that's in the news, while that's the buzz, post stuff. On social media, find old clips of his preaches. There's a lot of 5-minute and 10-minute preaches, and I put a link to, I listened to a 55-minute sermon of his yesterday, and it's just thrilling. It was from 1957, and it was just amazing, the call of God on his life. Use that to just get the gospel out there. Use every opportunity you can to let people ask questions, and his 100th birthday is coming up later this year. I think that we might be doing something to honor that. And the whole purpose is get the gospel out there. Use whatever we can. Paul said, I'll use whatever I can that people will hear about Jesus. So I'm thankful for partnerships. I'm thankful that my wife and I are partners in the gospel. I'm thankful that we're here partners in the gospel. I'm thankful that this church is partners in the gospel. We're not just isolated lone rangers out there. But that we really do believe that Jesus is the head and we're the body of Christ. And the body's not comprised of just one part. It's everybody working together. So, number two we see in here, stay in the course. And stay in the course, that's a nautical term. And when I hear that, I picture a sea captain in the face of the storm. You know, he's holding the wheel there, and his hat's blowing off, but he keeps that compass steady as she goes. And I love that term because that's my personal philosophy of leadership. If you're part of Westside, or if you're thinking about being part of Westside, you can be confident we're not going to be changing course all the time. And so because of that, I want to give a big praise report right now. About a year ago, I discovered this in my notes from March 5th, 2000. It was the week after I was set in, ordained as a pastor at this church. We were over on B Street, our old property there. So this is my first official preach at Westside. So I'm going to share with you my notes from that preach over 18 years ago. All right? And so... And the reason is because it's worthy giving God the glory for his faithfulness. And so I entitled my talk, I'm skipping down here to where we're going. God did this is my actual notes, my actual talk now. The title of my talk was Where We're Going. Because everybody's like, Kylie was there, Mike, Martha were there, anybody else? Terry, Tawny was out in the parking lot this morning, he was there. Frank Stephen was at Cameron Park, and I gave this, he just showed up out of the blue, he was one of the leaders that was there this morning. There was 25 people the first Sunday I was here, and by now, March 5th, we had grown to 40 people. That's mostly due to the fact that the Van Dusen showed up that day. They all showed up. But it was exciting. There was a buzz, and you know, it was fun, and it was a good season. I was excited, and the church was brand new. And here's what I started out by saying. I said, God did a radical thing by bringing Terry and me here. She stepped off her law practice. I stepped mid-year out of being school superintendent, smack in the middle of the year. And we left our kids. Usually your kids leave you. And my son had just gotten married. Our daughter was in university, and we left them. It wasn't easy. And so we did a radical thing coming up here, responding to God's voice. This church did a radical thing by accepting us and receiving us. They didn't know us. We had zero track record here. They didn't know us from Adam. They took a huge risk. But hearing from God, all the leaders, there was four leaders, they all stepped down voluntarily. It's an amazing thing that God did to make way for a fresh start. And this term wasn't even coined in those days. Now you hear it. Now there's books written about it. But this term, I had never heard of it. It was called a replant. And so that's what we did. We just treated it like it was a fresh start. And so with that in mind, I told the church, we got to think radically too. We're not going to keep the same old, same old. Because you know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. And so we wanted to have a clear vision, fresh vision. So this is what we laid out. So I said, over the next while, we're going to take the pews out. Now, Patty had a hard time with that. Patty had a hard time with that. She's just now becoming my friend again after all those years. And no, just teasing. And we're going to change the name. That's why we got the name Westside Church. Westside simply means we're on the western slope. We're on the western half of Eldorado County. Our friends down in Sacramento go, you're on the east side. Why do you call yourself the west side? I said, you're not the center of the universe. This is right here. This is. We're the western slope. And so... I said that we're going to evaluate every aspect of this church according to Scripture. That's why we're called a New Testament church. And there's no such thing as sacred cows. If it's something that's a sacred cow that's above the Word of God, we're going to get rid of it. And so there's very few things that are sacred cows here. Jesus is Lord. This is His Word. That's a couple of them. We're not going to deviate from those. And so we're going to live according to God's prophetic word, and we're going to respond to the Holy Spirit, just like the people of Israel responded when the pillar of fire or the cloud moved. They responded with, you know, they still had a purpose and still had a course, but they stayed under the Lord's guidance and His protection. And so, and then I said, we're going to emphasize the following things. Our meetings, we're going to emphasize three things: our weekly celebration services, and prayer, and small groups. Does that sound familiar? And we're going to have a few other meetings that we're going to emphasize. Ongoing vision and values class. We're going to have leadership training, ongoing. We're going to have specific teaching series from time to time on marriage and on parenting and on finances. And we're going to have a specific lifestyle emphasis. We're going to emphasize that each person has a point of impact. Each person has a sphere of influence. You know people that I don't know. Young people, you know people, your friends, that would never give me the time of day. They would never listen to a thing that I said, but they'll listen to you. And I have friends that you don't know. And so we all have points of impact into. It's like we have hundreds of people here at Westside, but we all have thousands of points of impact into this community. There's all kinds of ministries. Somebody once asked me, how many ministries do you have at Westside? I said, as many ministers as we have. Got all kinds. Everything we do at Westside is relatively simple. I just laid it out. We're going to have a few ministries like men's, women's, and youth, and children. That's it, ministries that we really emphasize. And so everything else is added on. If we have people to do that, we'll do it. If we don't have people to do that, we're not doing that. It's not a corporate flow chart. We're organic. It's like we're a big amoeba. Like, is it amoeba or amoeba? I always say amoeba. But just like a Terry says, I say pillow. She goes, it's not a pillow. It's a pillow. I go, yeah? What's the difference? And she says, there's a big difference. And so anyway, I lost my point. Amoeba. Okay, so you studied this in 10th grade biology. Those things are squiggling and squirming around. And so if we're big in this area, say we have a lot of worship guys, we're really strong there, but we're low in the you know, whatever, moving to Tasmania area, and we don't have that many people going there. And so we're going to flow with what God gives us. That's our point of impact in our ministries. We're going to emphasize this in our lifestyle, a point of impact, a generous lifestyle, authentic New Testament giving. And we're going to emphasize friendship, and we're going to emphasize outreaches. We're going to go minister in this community. We're going to minister around the world. We're going to emphasize walking and living in the New Testament pattern, what we see regarding church government and evangelism and hospitality and radically obedience, being radically obedient and these kind of things. And so our vision is threefold here. We always have said this: upward and inward and outward. And so if I say knowing Jesus and making Him known, right there, knowing Christ and making Him known, or if I say in community on mission, those are our purpose statements. Our vision is to be a strong, healthy local church. We're going to do that by knowing Christ and making Him known. We're going to do that by being in community and on mission. We're going to be a strong, healthy local church by helping people find their way back to God and become fully devoted followers of Christ. And so if we look upward, that's knowing Jesus. If we look inward, that's a strong, healthy local church. And if we look outward, that's making Him known. So these things just fit in with a real simple pattern. And so we see in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." I want to say this to you. You are the light of the world. Remember the mirror reflecting Jesus to the world. We're going to reflect Him to the world. We don't want to take this Bible. It's not a lens to look at you. Oh, the Bible says this. Ooh. like this. The Bible is a mirror. It shows me for who I am between me and the Holy Spirit. And I'll let God deal with me, and I'll let God deal with you. We don't use the Bible to beat people over the head with or to judge them with. You let God speak to you through his word. He's perfectly capable of doing that. And so a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So here's the point. We haven't, and we're not going to change course at Westside. This is a safe place. We're not going to be following off in every wind of doctrine and every emphasis that there is out there. We are going to keep fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're going to keep proclaiming him and giving him glory. Our methods might change because the culture changes, but our message does not change. We will keep Jesus in our sights. We will remain faithful. We will keep telling the world the good news of the gospel. I want to encourage you, Micah said it last week, that each one of these things in Philippians, not only do they apply to us as a church, but they apply to us. You could ask yourself, how does partnership in the gospel impact my life? Am I all in for Jesus and his kingdom? Am I using my gifts to serve the body so that God gets the glory? Or am I doing my own thing, building my kingdom? Right? Am I in this for him? Am I steadily following hard after Jesus? Am I following him? Am I steady in this thing? Or do I constantly wander off? Have I gotten off track? That's why weekly response times, we're going to have this in just a moment, is where even if we're off 0.1 degree, we get back on track. I want to follow Jesus. And sometimes, probably every week, there's a handful of people that go, you know, I've been off track for so long here. I can't even see the track anymore. Ask God to do a miracle in your heart and just get right back on. Instantaneously, turn your heart back toward him. That's the great thing about who he is. I, like Paul, want to finish my course. I told Terry, I said, I want to run across the finish line. I don't want to gasp and to get to the end. I want to serve Jesus with everything until he calls me home. Amen? Amen. And if you're not a follower of Jesus today, you can. I want to encourage you. Please say yes to Jesus. We have some people that will be down in the front in a few minutes. If you have any questions about how to follow Jesus or how to become a Christian, or maybe you like prayer for healing or prayer for a situation that you just can't overcome, we have some wonderful people that sit in and pray with you. Let's stand together as we respond.
Amen, Steve. Thank you for that.